Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 243. Tonight's show is the Howard Show, because Kenny ain't here. He's on other adventures.
We can talk shit about Kenny tonight.
Yeah, S200, 100, 500 is the best naming ever, and Kenny's not here to yell at me about it, so...
You want to know something awesome? I mean, even though I work in a bike shop occasionally now, I haven't even, like, had to address the naming about, like, I haven't had to, like, sell parts or look at compatibility of those parts. And so I haven't fully grasped that entire conversation. And that's kind of how I go through life, is I don't know about anything until I have to know about that thing.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I have to know about it.
So yeah, I don't.
I do know about it, and sold a bunch of S200 already, and guess what? It's fine.
What is the equivalent of S200 in old-timer speak?
GX.
Okay, cool.
So 500 is electronic axis, it's Axis Eagle. 200 is Axis Mechanical. 100 is affordable mechanical.
Wait, Axis Mechanical?
Or Eagle Mechanical.
Okay.
Fuck.
Great. I was about to freak out a little there.
Don't freak out.
Okay. I won't.
So I'm going to run backwards through. Today I got some, with Andrea's help, we picked up probably 220, 250 concrete roofing tiles, and we use them for floor tiles in our carport. Andrea, the cat came with the house, Ed.
Ed the cat.
And he really likes using that space as a litter box, and it's gross. So Andrea put down plywood at some point, which was just like a hodgepodge.
Yeah, I got random pieces of OSB we picked up at the Howard Lumberyard, aka the wood dump. Look, if you're going to do a project that involves lumber, and it doesn't have to be like nice lumber, you can go to the place where they charge $10 a trailer load for wood, tree branches, or a shed you tore down, doesn't matter, wood, for $10 a trailer load, you can dump it there. And so
for free, you can go dumpster diving.
Yeah, so for free, you can drive in there and walk around the pile and be like, hey, there's a full sheet of OSB.
With like the corner broken off of it.
Yeah, with like a corner broken off or like a strip cut off of it or whatever.
You're like, oh, this is a 40 by 90 whatever.
Yeah, so like you can just go pick that stuff up for free from the wood dump in Howard. And it's awesome. And I saved a ton of money doing that. And so we had a bunch of that just laying around that was, you know, maybe been rained on a couple of times. And it was kind of separating a little or something. But it's plenty good to just lay down in your dirt carport so that the cat doesn't use it as a litter box. And that's what we've done for the past couple of years.
And today I repaved it with concrete roofing tiles. And I laid them all in. And I used a little hand garden tool that Andrea brought home from her parents that they insisted she take, and I didn't realize that thing had an extendable handle, so
yeah.
Anyways, use that, and then I got about, I don't know, 20 gallons of road base. And
yeah, there's like a snow plow spot in our neighborhood, like where the snow plow, yeah, they push the snow up the road and then they make this little turn into a,
it's the snow plow pullout,
yeah,
slash like the intersection of our road. Like you could park 10 RVs there.
Yeah, so like they push the snow into that spot, but inevitably they also push part of the road into that spot, and it just piles up there. So like you can go and get...
You just borrow some.
Yeah, you just go and get a little road base, and you can do stuff like fill in the cracks between your concrete roofing tiles that you're using as a floor in your carport.
Yeah, and I swept it all in and then watered it, and it's pretty good. Is it perfect? No. Is it better than the plywood? Yes.
Way better.
Did it cost any money? No.
None at all.
So, did that. This week was Fib Art, so I borrowed one of Tom's motorcycles so I could ride to work and park by the dumpster and not fight drunk river people for parking, or get out of work and there's like a car on both sides of where I'm parked with like 17 rafts and inner tubes and crying children, and I can't leave because they're like, oh, just give me a minute to load up. And then they're like changing diapers and like shotgunning beers and whatever FIBARC people do.
Yeah. So FIBARC, for those of you who are uninitiated as we were when we moved to Salida, it stands for First in Boating on the Arkansas, referring to the Arkansas River. And it's just a boat rafting festival, and it's basically a large collection of moist drunk people.
Yep.
Like, imagine any festival, like a music festival, like people,
but everyone's in the river,
but everyone is
dripping,
is kind of, yeah, it's like dripping, they're moist
and they're sunburnt
and sunburnt
and kind of drunk,
and some anywhere from like buzzed to like blackout drunk.
Yep.
That's everyone at FIBARC all the time for like 4 days, and it's hell. Like the phone, like it overloads like the cell tower, and you can't get cell service, and the grocery stores are sold out of everything, as if they don't know that this is going to happen at a predicted date every year. And yeah, it basically half the town just leaves so they can avoid it, and the other half just either participates or hunkers down, you know, as if it was like a life-ending snowstorm that's happening, you know, like they grocery shop for like the next week and don't leave their house during that time.
Yeah. So Tom graciously let me borrow his CB500X, which, Tom, I love you, but that is one uninspiring motorcycle. It's great. No, let me back up. It is a wonderful motorcycle for commuting.
I mean, you didn't die, so.
Well, I didn't die, and I didn't. Yeah, it's just, the better way to put it is riding on the road is boring. It doesn't matter if it's a bicycle or a motorcycle. And the problem with motorcycles is I want to feel like I might get hurt. And the other way to put it is this weighs twice as much as my KTM and makes 6 additional horsepower. So doesn't really pass things, and it definitely doesn't want to lift the front wheel if you shift hard. Like, it's fine. It's great. It got 79 miles per gallon during my riding on it, and I figured out how to set the clock on the dashboard. Like, it's a Honda. It cranked. It purred along very smoothly, very quiet. The other thing that was super annoying is it's been really, really windy, and the winds were variable. And no joke, I rode to and from work in a headwind every day. Like, straight up into a headwind, both directions, every time. One day, the headwind was so bad that I tucked behind the windscreen, and 76 was all it had in it.
I mean, the speed limit's 55, so
Hypothetically, it only would have gone 76 in
okay.
those wind conditions.
All right.
But, I mean, in all reality, there's nothing wrong with a motorcycle. It's just road riding's not for me, because the road riding that would excite me would definitely end up with me being cleaned off of the pavement with a sponge and spatula.
A shovel. I think that's what...
No.
I think that's what first responders use when they need to clean people off of the pavement, is something like a shovel and an orange plastic bag of some sort.
It's a Johnny-ism.
Okay.
Anytime my dad saw someone riding a motorcycle, a total jackass, he's like, they're going to need a sponge and a spatula for that dude one day. So
it's funnier when you say it's a Johnny-ism, because you can hear it in his voice.
Uh-huh.
We should have him on the show someday.
We will. He'll be like, oh, we could talk about old BMX stuff. That'd be fun. Did I break my helmet? That'll come up. Yeah. Just don't worry about it.
No, like, you're talking, go ahead.
No, it's a story for my dad to tell.
Oh, okay.
And then, let's see, I got in the river at least once a day, every day during work this week. It was so hot in town. It's just unbearably hot here.
Like, most of the summers here, I don't know, at moderate elevation in Colorado, like 7,000 to 8,000 feet, you have a couple of weeks every summer, maybe like one, like an extra one thrown in somewhere separate from the other two, like where it's just unbearably hot. And it's just been like that since like the end of May. It's just, and the forecast is just still unbearably hot. Like, it's not ending, and it is driving me a little bit crazy. Like, one day Matt got home from work, he's like, are you mad? It's like, yeah, I'm mad because it's just hot. I was literally hot and bothered. Like, in the full sense of that phrase, I was just, in the most literal sense, I was just hot and bothered.
I would have considered just leaving. Like, I'm going to go camp and just go to work tomorrow. Good luck. But I didn't want to have a truck in town.
Yeah, it was.
So.
It's been unbearable.
Going back through time, I delivered a roller magnet to a business in Howard via motorcycle. Turns out Harbor Freight roller magnet fits kind of in a backpack. Good enough to make it 4 or 5 miles away from my house. So, super nice dude. He's got a small engine repair place in town. They own the liquor store in town as well. Just nice people. And they had the fuel line that we needed for Weed Eater. And they had, they needed a roller magnet. And I brought him one. Probably pick that up tomorrow. And then going back in time, I finished up Tom's goat shed roofing project. And if you are curious, it is possible to haul 16-foot steel sheets of roofing material in a 6-foot bed Nissan Frontier. All you need to do is, first, you find an extension liner, and you ratchet strap that into the truck. And then you attach the metal to that, and then you rally over there. And that worked out. We're going backwards. So Monday, I tried going to the Howard dump that Andrea was talking about earlier, but I couldn't. Because they were closed when they're supposed to be open, and you do have to go give the lady money and get the combo, and they change the combo so people aren't just dickheads. Because I tried the old combo and it didn't work, but I was just going to be like, I owe you $10. If there's a camera here, I owe you $10. I just can't keep this shit in my trailer anymore. But I had to keep that shit in my trailer longer, and it's frustrating because I want to rent a big wood chipper and do fire mitigation here, but I can't rent a big wood chipper because it just starts, like, I would have to drive 2.5 hours round trip to pick up a wood chipper from the closest place I can get one, and that's just too much time. The place that I could snag one during lunch, their big wood chipper is broken. So super frustrating because I would love to just hook a wood chipper up to my Jeep and snake it around through the trees and cut and chip and cut and chip and cut and chip and cut and chip. But instead, I'm cutting and loading and cutting and loading. Anyways, I'm just complaining. The weekend before that, I went out and did my first event on the new Gas, and it didn't dawn on me until I was there. But it's cool. There's two places we do trials in Colorado that are on private property. And the place this last weekend was on private. And it's the first place. My mouth is not working. It's the first place the first event I did on the gas trials bike. The first gas I got was at Stock Ranch. It was a total shit show. I bought the bike that week. I'd barely ridden it. And it was like, hey, you sure you want it? And I'm like, nothing like, because I was still riding intermediate, nothing like 24 sections to try to figure this fucking thing out. So just went out and did it. It didn't go well. And then that was also the first time I'd had to kickstart a motorcycle that much. And I got my leg just hated me the next day because I rode my 24 sections. And then I went out and minded for Hannah and Sarah. And during that, Sarah's shifter fell off. So what I would do is, let's say that we just completed section 2, whatever, wherever shifter fell off. And it fell off on the first or second loop, so we had to do this a bunch. I would meet her at the end. I would shift her bike into third, put her shifter back in my pocket, get on my bike, chase them down, because they would just go. And then I would go back, find my bike, chase them down. They're waiting to do the next section. I would shift her bike back into first, put the shifter back in my pocket, mind both of them, shift her back up, get on my bike, go. So I cranked my bike a gajillion times, and it just destroyed me. But this new bike at Stock Ranch went completely different. So riding Advance this year, again, I rode it the two events I did last year, but I'm really going to make a push and try to get through most of the events this season and see if I can get an overall plate. I have all of my... There's a lot of requirements to be eligible for a plate, and I've met all of them. So you have to be a trials master. You have to score 2 days either at National or Ute Cup, and I am excluded from needing to do that because I'm trials mastering. I trials mastered a local event, plus I'm trials mastering National, so I'm covered there. And this is going to be the first year I do a Ute Cup, first year I do enough of the stuff to be plate eligible. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Ute cups on Rainbow Trail this year, too.
Ute cups in our backyard this year. Oh, yeah. No. I got a plate. I got an intermediate plate because the first year, you don't have to do all that stuff. You have to score, but you don't have to put on an event. And I did score.
And they're just trying to get people to be, like, involved with it because it's a very... I don't know about other moto stuff, but from what I've seen just as an outsider looking at, you know, watching trial stuff, like, it is extremely, like, community-focused group of people out here. So, like, everyone kind of just helps out and watches for everyone else.
If everyone doesn't help, none of it works. So, that's why those things are in place. But the reason I'm dragging this out is it dawned on me that this is my first gas bike event, or first new bike event, and it was my first event on a gas bike ever. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, Stock Ranch, that's where I break in new bikes. Okay, cool. And then I started thinking about it too much. And I took a point in the first section, which it's fine, but I'm bummed about it because it would have been really cool if the first section of the first event, like, new bike, first event, first section, no points. Like, that would have been really cool. But I put my foot down. I didn't need to because I cleaned that section twice more. But I ran into a little problem. I was bad at timekeeping, and I went into penalty time. So I got 3 minutes of penalty time, which is really annoying because I know I had 3 minutes. I just didn't.
You talked too much?
No. I did, but also the day went really well for me. It was set in a way that really was good for me. It had some bigger stuff, some tight stuff, some big stuff. It none of it was super high consequence, but there was even some stuff where it was just like choose your own adventure, you know, like without getting too boring. Like I rode something that I didn't have to ride, but actually for my riding style made it easier, blah, 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 all this shit. But like halfway through the second loop, I was like, I think I can win. I was like, I think like I'm riding really well today. I can win. And the reason I went into penalty time is I was chatty and I was really slow, but I was trying to be very purposeful and very
methodical,
like, methodical and chatting in a way to like stay relaxed and not get too serious. And I took 3 penalty points and I still won. So I won my first advanced event and I'm really excited about it. It might not sound like it right now, but I think I got a little too hot today. So
it's real easy to do. I've had 40, 50, 60. I've had probably 70 ounces worth of drink mix of various types today between like Scratch Labs and Tailwind and Gatorade. I've had 70 ounces worth of liquid today and I am not overhydrated at all. Like I got to finish like this extra 15 ounces I just made before bed and I'll be okay.
Let's see, 90, I'm close to a gallon.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous how much we've both been drinking the past, like, I don't know, the past month, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's something where I've even been mindful, like, need to drink water while my coffee's making. I need to drink water as soon as I get to work. I need to drink water before lunch. I need to drink water with lunch. I need to drink water after lunch. I need to fill up a bottle and finish it, like, as I'm getting ready to go home from work. I need to have water after dinner. Like, it's not one of those, oh, well, you didn't drink anything yesterday. It's so hard to stay on top of it. I mean,
and it's just because like everything here at our elevation, like central Colorado in the mountains, most buildings were built before climate change has really taken hold. So they don't have air conditioning. You might have a swamp cooler, which is just an evaporative cooler. It just blows kind of just I don't know, vaporizes some water and blows it out into the air so that it's just a little cooler. And that's great if it's only 80 degrees for like half the day. But when it's like 80 degrees by 10 a.m., you're just fucked. Like, you're just fucked. It's just hot. Like, you're sitting there hot and it's probably 75 in the house right now. We could open these windows. Should do that.
Well, and also it's 15% humidity right now.
Yeah. Window break. All right, what else you got?
That's what I got.
All right, well, I have been
working. Oh no, I have.
It's okay. Go on.
DI2 is stupid.
Oh yeah.
So, I hadn't really messed with any new DI2. I mean,
DI2, the Shimano Rode product. Well, yeah. Mountain also, but mostly Rode. He's talking about Rode.
The mountain stuff I haven't messed with yet. The closest I got to it was I had a bike that we were doing a frame up build on, and we were missing the rear wheel, I think. And I hung all the parts. That way, when the wheel was done, all that had to be done was like make bike worky, not, you know. And for everyone at home, it's like building a bike isn't that big of a deal. You have to understand, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a person that energetically proclaims they can rebuild a Reverb in 17 minutes. The old Reverb.
Are you talking about a person here or a person that we know that works at a company
that might make a Reverb?
Okay. Okay.
I'm not doubting that that's possible. It's just not possible in a bike shop. It's just flat out not. Because
you gotta find the tools.
No, not even that.
Step one, find tools.
Step one, I had a produce crate brimmeth over with stuff. So what do you do first? You have to open 19 different boxes because we're doing a frame up build. So that means you got to open like, I'm going to install the brakes. No, you're going to open the post mount adapter box and you're going to then open the little envelope inside of that and you're going to dump it out on your bench and you're going to sort all the washers and put them on the bolt. And you're going to recycle that stuff, or you're going to make a recycling pile, and you're going to like open two brake boxes and, oh, we're not bleeding these yet. So let me start a little pile for my barbs and olives. Oh, let me, these bolts don't go with this bike because the brake bolts are for direct mount and this is going to be plus 20 post mount. So let me set these over here because I'm going to put those away where we save brake bolts. And it probably takes 25 minutes just to get to the point where you have all the packages opened. And then you got to choose like, oh, I'll use this brake box for all the stuff we're not going to use yet, like rear rotor, because we don't have a rear wheel yet. Let me open this bottom bracket. And again, open, and let me recycle this stuff. Like, so yes, you can build a bicycle really fast, but when you're opening all those little packages and you're sorting out all these little things, it just takes forever. So there is a big benefit to getting ahead of it. Well, this week I had the fine luxury of building my first Dura-Ace 9200 road bike. This bike came fully assembled, and I had to disassemble it to reassemble it. And it was super annoying because it was, to make a long story short, electronic shit should not have a wire. It just shouldn't. It took me probably 30 minutes to install the seat post because it's a Roubaix and it's got a little socket for the seat post wedge to go into. So it's not a normal seat post where once you get the post inside of the top of the frame, the wires can't get caught on the edge of the post anymore. No, it's a Roubaix, and the little socket is like deeper than my finger will reach. So I had to pull wires down in order to get the post to go in. If the post isn't in, the bike can't be in the work stand because I'm not going to clamp an S-Works Roubaix by the fucking top tube like a idiot. So I'm working on the floor, and I had to pull the front derailleur and the front derailleur mount off so I could pull the wire so I could get the wire to stay taut so I could get the seat post into the frame without chopping the seat post or DI2 wire on the shelf where the little thing goes. And then when I got the seat post in, I had to pull the bottom bracket out so I could get the wires to go back where they go so I could put all this shit back together. And you have to use a phone to pair DI2. You cannot work on DI2 without your phone. And that's just like, pair the shifter. You better take a picture of the QR code that's on the back of the shift blade. That'll never wear off. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm just not excited about the stuff. Once it was all together, the bike rode like a dream, and it shifted amazing. Dura-Ace DI2, it shifts great. I just don't want to own anything with a wire. Like, just not into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll build on that. I dealt with you all know, I've been working Leadville some. Dealt with some transmission like e-bike with transmission. And half of the time spent, I mean, yeah, a lot of the time spent was just taking parts out of the box and laying them out. The other part was spent just reading about and like putting apps on my phone and finding the correct program in the shop computer so that you can start the bike, and looking at the Axis app on my phone, looking at, you know, double check. This is a big one. So if you work in a shop and you have any bikes with any transmission, mechanical or electronic, manufacturers are fucking that shit up big time. I don't know if I have taken any bike out of the box that has transmission where part of the assembly has been, where all of the assembly has been correct. So you have a setup key, which
never
is,
adjusted.
It's either A position or B position. It's 50% of the time, at least, it is in the wrong position out of the box. And then you have to have the chain the correct length. 50% of the time, the chain is not the correct length. You either need to take a link out, which costs you a quick link, or you need to put a link in, which costs you a fucking chain. Because
no, you warranty both of those things, is the reality.
Yeah. So either or both, the setup key is wrong. The chain length is wrong. One of the bikes out of the box, the way that the derailleur was installed, like there's a plate that has a line on it, and then the derailleur, not the hanger, but like the derailleur has a line. This plate has a line, and they're supposed to line up. If they don't line up, the derailleur's not going to hang properly. So it's kind of like your B gap, sort of. And that was wrong. So I had to take the derailleur off and reinstall the derailleur.
I mean, you don't have to reinstall it to do that. You just have to loosen it.
Well, you know, like if they fuck that much stuff up, if the setup key is wrong, if that's wrong, who says they didn't install the bushing in the frame with grease on it?
Well, they don't do that because grease costs money.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like,
I know. You just,
what else did they fuck up? And along with that, so not only is it like these companies are fucking transmission up every chance they can, every fucking bike I touch, the nuts going into the master cylinder of the brake are loose. Every fucking one of them. You put a torque wrench on it, that shit is not torqued to 8 Newton meters ever. Never. So those people that are like, yeah, my SRAM brakes suck, they have to be bled like every other ride. Well, it's because those nuts are loose. It's drinking air. So if you work in a shop, check everything with that, because it's not right. Your customer's going to be unhappy. And in some cases, the customer's going to be like those people you see commenting on the internet. They're like, this stuff sucks. It never works. It needs to be bled all the time. My shifting sucks, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time, it's because you assume when you take a bike out of the box, the shit's installed properly if it's already on the bike.
I don't.
You should be like Matt and
you
don't
just
assume
can't.
That.
You can't, like, I worked with a guy, God, almost 20 years ago now, and he always said never, like, anytime he found something like that, his comment was never trust another man's work. And yeah.
And, you know, of course, like, I guess not the last time I was in Leadville, but the time before that, in the same hour, two different leaking Shimano brake calipers, like one on a brand new Kona gravel bike out of the box, and one on a barely used Orbea. I mean, it was older, but literally the lady had gotten it, and then her husband died or something like awful, and she just didn't ride for forever, and was about to start riding again. And, you know, the bike looked brand new, and this brake caliper's leaking. It's like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. I'm trying not to. I see what's happening in my brain, and I'm trying to resist it. I'm kind of becoming more of a curmudgeon. I'm trying not to be like that bike mechanic that hates all new technology. But the fact that as a mechanic, now I need like 3 to 5 apps on my phone just to make a bike work. It's just really frustrating. And it's not even about bikes at that point. It's the fact that, like, we carry around like a computer tracking device. Here we go. Like, whoever it is, it's like, what's Andrea's conspiracy this week? We carry around a computer tracking device, like, for marketing and government surveillance purposes in our pockets at all times. And we're now required to have those with us at all times just to do our jobs. That's my conspiracy of the week. There you go. It's not even a conspiracy theory. It's just me being a curmudgeon and hating technology a little bit because I'm just like that.
Yep.
But I have done some bike rides. They were not normal bike rides. They were e-bike rides. Rode some in Leadville. In Leadville, there's this area called the East Side Mining District. And it's, you know, back in at the turn of the century, it was where there were just, it was like the gold rush times. And there are just thousands of mines out there. And there are all of these gravel roads and 4x4 roads and just hundreds of miles of shit to explore. And the cool thing about Leadville is it's like, it sits just over 10,000 feet of elevation. And you're so close to tree line. You're so close to like the high alpine riding there. It's just amazing because you ride for like, I don't know, like on a normal bike, it would be, you know, you climb for like half an hour. And all of a sudden you're just above tree line. Like you're just out in the tundra and it's just vast and it just keeps going. There are roads out there that go up and over 12 and 13,000 feet. Just go. They just go there and then go back down and go somewhere else. You know, it's not like you go there and there's a lookout. You know, you're like going someplace. And it's really, really cool. And I would encourage anyone, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, if you want to see that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, stuff like in Salida, like Monarch Crest is really awesome. But if you just want to go and like explore a bunch of, you know, 4x4 roads and amazing views and terrain and stuff, like Leadville's really fucking cool too. But I haven't done a whole lot other than that. It's really just been Leadville and tanning some beaver hides. That's about it.
All right. Let's do some new stuff.
There is some new stuff around.
Trek is fulfilling some of their orders, their online orders from company-owned retail stores.
All right. They just like call up the shop and they're like, yo, can you ship these people this bike?
Pretty much.
Wow. I mean, I guess that as are the shops getting paid as if they sold the bike or?
I mean, they're owned by Trek.
Yeah, I guess that makes a difference.
Just makes me think that their U.S. inventory is pretty low. But let's see. Giant Group is claiming the U.S. and European demand remains cautious. No shit.
Let's see. What did I want to talk about first? We got a little bit of a 32-inch wheel news.
Yep.
5 new 32-inch Maxxis tires for gravel, cross-country, and trail. We got the Aspen ST. Come on, give me like a real...
We got Aspen ST, Aspen AT, Aspen ST, Aspen AT, Forecaster, and Dissector.
Yeah. So 3 different Aspen variations. Wait, 4 different?
Well, there's 2. Okay. There's an Aspen Gravel, Aspen ST Gravel, Aspen ST Mountain, Aspen AT, a.k.a. should have been a fucking recon, and then Forecaster and Dissector, right?
Yeah, I wanted to look at the tread on the AT because that sounds interesting. That does look kind of like a recon. I'd like to see it up next to everything else.
I mean, like, it's knobbier than an Aspen. Why is it not a recon?
Because it's not as knobby as a recon.
Okay.
It's a recon ST.
Okay.
And then there's a 32-inch bike on the podium at a UCI World Cup recently, right?
Linzer Hyde. Yeah, I didn't pull that one up, but Fumas Light Rider R32.
And it sounds like, by the way, this article sounds like the rider, who was it? Oh, it was one of the women.
Alessandra Keller and Matthias Flukiger.
Okay.
Flukiger? No.
Say it, just cough into the microphone.
Well, Alessandra Keller is pretty good. I think it's Matthias Flukiger.
Okay. It kind of sounds like this bike wasn't really available, which would go against the UCI rules. And then they suddenly offered like a, you can pre-order this bike and they're going to have like 60 of them available or some shit. No, that was the Brook Saddle. There's a limited run that you could pre-order, and they put that up at like midnight the night before the race or some shit is what it kind of sounded like. Like they made it commercially available immediately before the race, like after the people pre-rode the course on the bike and were like, we really want to ride this. And so they just went to the website and they're like, oh, give us a little money and we'll make one for you eventually.
Equipment not available to the public can only be used under an authorized trial period and must be commercially released within 12 months of its first use in competition.
It says they decided in the morning that they wanted to use the bikes is what it sounded like. And so, let's see. I'm trying to find like the exact story behind it. Yeah, they said at the last minute, the bike maker decided to fast track the 32-inch bike, offering a limited 50-bike pre-production run of the Light Rider R32 World Cup with pre-orders available right now. So they basically just offered it as a pre-order immediately before the race.
Yeah, but I think that's one of those that, because if they didn't have that like prototype authorization by making it for sale, then party on. I mean, because they've been racing the demo long before the demo was released. So
yeah, that's true.
Sounds like they did all the right things in a way that makes the UCI very angry. So
that looks like a Schwalbe tire on there.
Yeah, they have prototypes. Also, the UCI is just persnickety. They're like, bike computers are big enough. They can't get bigger.
You know what the UCI, like when I've been reading the UCI stuff recently, it really reminds me of Formula One.
It's all the same. There's just people that say this is what you can do, and then everyone tries to
like get around the rules without breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bonsai plant. Bend it without breaking it. That probably makes sense to like two of our listeners, maybe. Do we want to talk about Shimano's latest jump into the modern world of bicycle components?
Oh, sure.
They introduced a 2.2 millimeter thick brake rotor for improved braking performance.
That's cool.
It's available in 200 and 220. They have made the leap to the modern era of brake rotors by not doing a 203 in this one. I don't know. Yep. Are they going to stop doing 203 altogether? Like, are they going to phase 203 out and just do 200?
I think that's the plan.
That would be nice. What are bike shops going to do with all their 203 rotor adapters?
Use them.
As what? A weapon?
Do you know how many 203 rotors are still in stock everywhere?
Yeah, that's true. They probably are. As a commenter, there's some really good comments on Bike Rumor this week for some of these. As commenter, James. Hopefully James is a listener. I doubt it, though. I don't know if the smart-ass comment maybe he is. Let's all welcome Shimano to 8 years ago.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, it wasn't quite 8 years ago.
No,
but
TRP probably beat SRAM, but TRP brakes don't work. Kenny's not here to defend himself, but they don't work. So
yeah, like those. I'm talking about like real brake manufacturers. You know, SRAM did the HS2 rotor in 2021, September of 2021. I looked it up and it was almost 5 years ago.
Okay. We're going to save that for Kenny.
Yep.
So if you have $2,500 burning a hole in your pocket, you can get yourself a limited run Cannondale CAD 14 in throwback lightning paint.
God, that is hot. That's like the hottest aluminum frame I've ever seen in my life. I would ride that. And it comes in two different colors of lightning paint job, too.
Yeah, it's hot as hell. If I worked for a Cannondale dealer, I would...
There's 100 frame sets. That's it. 100 in the world. They're numbered.
Yeah, and I would want one. There's lots of... I'm not saying I would get one. I would want one.
Absolutely.
I want a Kona Unity. I want a Kona unit, and I also want, fuck, what was that other bike that I was drooling at the other day? It doesn't matter. But yeah, $2,500, you get a custom painted frame, or a limited edition paint frame, and a kit. So, let's see.
I'm trying to look at, like, what sizes and shit it comes in.
All of them.
Gets 32 millimeter tire clearance.
Yeah, it's a road bike. That's what road bikes clear now. The Rubea built this week clears 38. Shimano brought out new 12-speed stuff. For mechanical, new Dior and XT SLX is gone.
Yay.
And there's a Link Glide Dior rear derailleur. No one knows what that means. So is it Link Glide and it works with a Q shifter? Or is it Link Glide XT and it works with an XT 11-speed shifter? No one knows. Someone knows.
It's probably in that article somewhere.
They're still making two different shifters. So
what are the two different shifters?
iSpec versus clamp band.
God.
And there's a new XT trail pedal. It looks like the XTR pedal.
Oh, they put fucking spikes on it.
Yeah.
That's...
Doesn't matter if you're just going to cut that part off like I will.
I mean, they haven't done that, and...
I mean, they did on the last XTR pedal.
What, the spikes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did. That's, you know, that's really... I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I used to always ride the XT trail pedals or XTR trail pedals, and I did it with, like, carbon-soled shoes that wouldn't really be compatible with spikes, so... I guess if I still was into that kind of shit, I'd just be shit out of luck. I'd just be buying up old trail pedals.
Wait, why couldn't you use those?
Those spikes. Like, if you had carbon-soled shoes, those spikes would just be, like, poking into the... Like, they would just slide around on your shoe.
They don't touch your shoe. There's carbon. They touch the rubber. Also, you can just fucking take them out. They're pins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. I see the other side now.
They touch the pedal, or they touch the shoe outside of the cleat box.
I guess. No, like there's some mountain shoes that barely have any rubber on the bottom of them.
Well, then,
like race shoes.
Then you run XT race pedals.
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't run trail pedals on those shoes.
Or I just don't worry about it because I don't.
You don't care.
I don't race anymore. I just ride around on my e-bike getting fat. I'm just joking. I'm not serious about that.
Just smoking Marlboros.
I'm just like drinking whiskey, riding around on my e-bike.
Oh, no. The real white
yelling
trash.
Yelling at tourists.
You would be wearing a like thin pearl snap shirt with a pack of Marlboros in the titty pocket. And you'd have one of those Arundel cages with the boa thing on it. And you just have a 1 liter Mountain Dew in there.
Damn, that's a good idea. Oh, shit. I'm going to do that to my e-bike. I'm going to put one of those cages on there so I can ride around with a liter of
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Strip a little Jack Daniels in there with it.
When was the last time you had Mountain Dew?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Probably about the same as the last time I've had, like, actual fast food. Like, I don't know. It's been so long, I have no idea.
Yeah, I've had a Mountain Dew in the last month for sure.
I don't know. I mean, I've had, like, Red Bull. I might have had, like, a Coke or something.
Coke doesn't really count. It's a cycling nutrition staple.
Yeah, like I don't know. I just don't know. I don't have anything against it. I'm not like, oh, I don't drink that because it's poison. I'm not like that. I don't really think about getting it when I'm in the store looking for shit to drink. Oh man, look at that spider on the window.
I saw it earlier.
That's a big one. Spiders are welcome in my house. It's okay. They eat the other bugs that live in the house.
Yeah. Colnago released a new time trial bike. It's 2 watts faster. It's also 1.25 pounds lighter.
I mean, that is significant because time trial bikes are normally kind of heavy.
Yeah. Just
say how much it weighs. Like, what do time trial bikes weigh now?
I don't know. A lot. They're always heavy. I mean, I think they're getting heavier because, like, these are extremely fast.
Those, like, entire forearm cradles.
Yeah, like the aero bar extension is the arm... Elbow cup, like the elbow cup goes all the way up to your wrist.
I mean, it also looks pretty comfortable too.
It's just fast.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing looks comfortable about that because there's not room. Like a lot of the dudes have to hold. Like I've seen in some of the stuff, and if I have the wrong fingers, go fuck yourself. But like in some of the time trial stuff I've seen recently, like for argument's sake, they're holding their right thumb with their left thumb and index finger. And
no, they probably sat in a wind tunnel and like changed their hands around in the
right, but like that just I don't know. Riding with your hands touching is against nature and God. And then let's see. The only thing that is actually kind of cool is the Ergotec high base 45 degree stem. So it's a actually short stem. It's a 55 millimeter length, and they're really good. They give you the effective reach of 40 millimeters because it has 40 millimeters of rise. And the way that they get so much rise out of this is it is built fundamentally different than a traditional rise stem. You'll really just need to look at a picture of it to understand it.
Basically, like the part of the stem, like the body of the stem that connects, like the steer tube clamp to the handlebar clamp, like that is hollow so that it can rise and, like, I don't know, kind of not cradle, but it has space there for the top cap of the steer tube to be like the inside of it.
A different way to describe it is, imagine if you had a stem that looked more like a dual crown direct mount stem than a normal stem. That's how it gets so much rise so short, is it has like structure that protrudes above your top cap rather than just trying to do all the up in front of the top cap.
How much is that? Because that's something that like a lot of bike shops would put on maybe a more like budget minded bike.
54 pounds.
Yeah, that would be cool. It's not too heavy either. I mean, it's not super light, but yeah, like that's a big thing in bike shops. Someone comes in with like their old mountain bike that they pulled out of their garage. It's like, I just want to ride around a little bit. I'm not going to ride trails. I might ride on a gravel road or two. And
no, this is for trail riding, but
I know, but I'm talking about the person who would want that stem. And that bike was built when mountain bikes were the shape of road bikes. So it doesn't really fit them and they want the bars higher. That's the kind of person you would sell that stem to.
Or I would just sell them a Deity 50 millimeter rise bar.
You would do both. Because that person is also a million years old like I am, and they want their handlebars to be higher because their back hurts.
Well, then they're going to need new cables and housing.
Well, yeah, you sell them that too.
I'm just saying.
But they're always pretty damn happy when you do that, and they can ride their old mountain bike around. I used to ride this in college, and I haven't ridden it since then. This person's kids are in college now.
Also, in the same article, the person talks about the Dakine Slayer helmet. And let me just tell you something. I'm going to step on my curmudgeon soapbox for a minute. I want a helmet with a goddamn buckle on it. All this Fidlock magnetic bullshit. I've been buckling my helmet for 35 years now. My hand doesn't know how to do that, and I'm too old to learn. So I guess if I crash out a helmet, I just won't ride anymore because
my helmet that I have now, some people are going to be horrified at this, is,
I mean, it's aged out for sure.
It's a Smith non-MIPS helmet that I bought like the first year I worked at Absolute Bike, so like 2017. That bitch is pretty damn close to 10 years old.
I mean, it's aged out for sure. Oh my God.
Oh, that's pretty hot. But like the MIPS helmets are just hotter, and I can feel the plastic on my hair, and I don't like it. And some of you out there are not going to understand. Some of you are. If you are sensitive to things and the way they touch you, the way that the MIPS liner feels when I have it on my head makes me want to pull my scalp off of my skull. And I can't. I know I need a MIPS helmet. I understand that. I know the ramifications of head injuries. I know that I've had too many head injuries to risk getting another one. But I also can't, I can't deal with the way those feel on my head. Best I can do is just get a new helmet at some point. But like, it can't be a MIPS helmet if it has that plastic liner in it.
Oh, that helmet has a buckle. It's also $300.
Yeah, Smith's got a good EP. All right, what else we got?
Listener patrons.
Are we done? We're just going to cut it off there.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Cool. Let's do it. So our patrons, starting at $10 a month or more, we got John, Kurt, Jim, the fucked up trike guy, Burt Reynolds, Krusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds mustache, Taper Boar Pro, My Pal Dal, MTV Shenanigans, Raylo from the Block,
Mike Jones,
Cam Irish One, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, You a down ass bitch, but I ain't mad at you. JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Chipset Coffee, We Caffeinate Colorado, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Moose Knuckle Taproom, the home of Open Doors and Heavy Pours, Ty, Noah, Cool Beans.
Ooh, she nasty.
No, my name is Clayton. Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Balls.
Wait a minute. Never mind. I thought it was 8 ball. It's 10 ball.
Okay.
Okay.
It's the word ball typed 10 times.
Okay.
Alternating capital or non-capital is the first B. Full face Kenny Loggins flying into the danger zone on an Amazon e-bike. At $11.11 per month, we've got Barry Denpoon, Patamelon Disco Ball at $14 Australian. And at $20 a month, you've got Matt and Andrea's Questionable Relations.
Tell me about it.
Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench at $26.06 per month, Dirt Bikes, because you didn't really need that testicle anyways. Harley at 30, Andrea Knows About Shit at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, purveyors of top shelf shenanigans and cycling events at 50.
Shut her down.
All right. I still want Troy to tell me what kind of shit I know about.
Oh, he told me. It was because you were like talking about how fresh horse poop was and stuff one show. So
what do you mean how fresh horse poop?
You saw horse poop and you were describing how fresh it was by how it looked and whatnot. So you literally know about shit.
Oh yeah, I do know about. I can look at a pile of shit and tell you approximately how old it is. I said that as if it's a redeeming quality about myself, and I think it is, but most people probably don't. So, all right, thank you all for listening and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your pads.